All right, good afternoon, everybody. Happy to be here with you. Chris Muller across from me, Donnie Football, who will be hosting the Landon Roberts Show, the guy that was nearly a hero Sunday night for that great play he made near the end of the game. That's at 6 over at Mineo's Pizza House in Allison Park. Mike Tomlin went on and on and on today about George Pickens because he kept getting asked questions about him, and he was coddling and pampering again when it comes to George Pickens, or at least I think he is. If I had to guess, was Tomlin Honest John Tomlin or Pinocchio Tomlin today? I think his nose kept getting bigger. And so if that's my version of it, that's not good. But I think Tomlin is being transparent. If that's what he did today, if he was actually giving you truthful answers, that's not good either. I honestly right now don't think that there is a favorable view or positive view on what's going on with George Pickens. He's either getting quietly disciplined and getting reamed out behind the scenes and getting benched in games, or the Steelers think they're better off with guys like Van Jefferson playing more than him for football reasons. And both suck, Chris. Both blow ass. Neither one of them are a good thing. So honestly, if people want to call in today and say, don't take everything Tomlin says seriously.
We were called jackals in my mentions because we actually evaluate what he says and call BS if we think he's BSing us. He owes you jackals nothing, was what was said.
Okay, well then what does George Pickens owe us then? How about trying in games? And if Tomlin is, he doesn't want to give us a pound of flesh. He still wants to
stick up for the guy.
Yeah, he doesn't want to embarrass the guy. Okay, that's still a crappy situation that 5 games into the season, someone who had a history of blowups and a history of this kind of moody wide receiver behavior is back to his old ways and the coach is having to address it. And again, it is one thing if we are doing this while 2 things are going on. 1, the Steelers are winning, and 2, George Pickens putting up big numbers. You know, when we would do the discussions of Antonio Brown videotaping Tomlin after playoff wins, tossing Gatorade coolers, not talking to Ben Roethlisberger, lashing out, acting out, being late for things. Well, when you're giving me $1.50 and 2 touchdowns, I'm going to understand it better. George Pickens has 23 catches for 310 yards. His numbers are worse than last year. In this last game, he played less. I can't emphasize this enough. Than Van Jefferson. And if Tomlin's football reasons like, well, in Arthur Smith's offense, Van Jefferson is a better blocker than George Pickens, if they actually feel that way, that's actually probably more damning than trying to curtail the diva-ish behavior of a wide receiver.
I thought that Van Jefferson line was the worst one, or the more foreboding, ominous thing about this. George is a backside receiver, so we don't really expect him to block. So we run a lot of our running plays where the wide receiver is expected to block. We expect Van Jefferson. Well, that connects all of these dots together for me. George Pickens is a big physical dude. He was known in college for, if anything, being too overzealous of a blocker, trying to knock guys into the turf.
We've seen the videos when his head screwed on straight.
He just destroys people.
Lay waste to corners.
He's a much bigger man. Van Jefferson is a smaller man who the one thing you know he does better than George Pickens is put in play-to-play effort. I think it's a very bad sign if they are deliberately designing running plays to run away from George Pickens, because the unspoken part there is, well, we don't think he's actually going to block well enough for that to matter. The other thing is, I found it funny that Mike Tomlin, a guy who pretty much treats analytics, at least in public, like they have a scarlet letter, like the A in analytics is a scarlet one,
yeah,
suddenly finds it in his heart to bring up good old analytics when it comes to putting George Pickens on a snap count to get more out of him.
And load management.
This is a guy who, when David Todd would ask him obvious analytical questions about like time management and the way teams view their timeouts, which is like an NFL analytics thing,
yeah,
acted like somebody was speaking to him in foreign tongues and he didn't want to answer. So I think here is what I think is honestly happening right now. Joe said, I think on the air, he felt a little bit bad for Mike Tomlin almost because he just wanted him to say, like, just tell everybody the truth, which is that this guy's dogging it and you're disciplining him or you're not happy with him. You'll be surprised at how freeing it is. I think that was in paraphrasing what Joe said. I think this is it. I think Mike Tomlin feels every time they draft a wide receiver or are looking at wide receivers, like his ability to get through to players in his history as a coach, his like self-perceived ability, is an ace up their sleeve that they have where they can court more risk and go after more talent. I think this guy's getting away from him. And I think, honestly, the coach knows this. He's not going to air him out publicly because he rarely, if ever, does that. He did it to Chase Claypool, like, as a joke. Remember the music bit?
Yeah.
He's not going to, like, seriously crush the guy publicly, even though people want that. And I think the coach knows that this is on thin ice. Yeah, I still go back to the video that we saw yesterday of when Pickens dropped that ball on 3rd and 4. Tomlin didn't react like a guy going, ah, he'll get another one. He'll get after it again next series. He acted like a guy furious that his best skill player dropped a bunny that would have possibly gone for big yardage. I think he's pissed at the guy, but he is categorically unable to give people a pound of flesh in public, no matter how pissed he is at a given player.
Because I think he's afraid of how it's going to affect George Pickens and how it might backfire with him and affect the relationship even more negatively. By the way, less is not more with him. He's playing fewer snaps than last year, but they're not getting better numbers because of it. He's not a more efficient player because of it. He's not a more effective player because of it. Donnie, what do you think? You're a fan. You're a guy with season tickets. You're headed to Vegas for the game this weekend. Is this a mountain or a molehill with George Pickens?
What we thought was maybe just a molehill last season is really getting close to becoming that mountain. Like, I think this is actually getting close to a boiling point, like faster than I thought it would. Last year, things would happen, and I would think, okay, like it'll settle down. You know, he did the whole Instagram thing; he wiped it clean of everything Steelers. He had had all of us speculating left and right, but it is not good now that it is. He was benched. He was benched on Sunday. I don't care what Mike Tomlin says; they basically benched their best offensive weapon. He can say any set of words he wants to. He can get as fancy as he wants to in his explanation. Any type of word salad, whatever dressing you like to, you can have that on the
never
side.
Never liked Thousand Island. I've never had it or French dressing in my entire life.
Have you eaten a Big Mac?
Well, I've never had it on a salad. That's the only, okay, I guess, place I've had it. But yeah.
But anything you want to use, he can say whatever he wants. They benched their best offensive weapon.
Okay.
And I don't know in what universe he thought that would be a good idea, given that guy's mentality.
So wait, so you're actually saying benching was a bad idea?
Yes, because, well, I mean,
do we think the player is going to respond well to the bench?
Yeah, he's not going to respond well.
So then he
didn't.
Okay, but then this gets back into another Tomlin criticism. So you just enable it? I mean, it sounds to me like it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. If you don't bench him, people say, well, you just tolerate that kind of effort?
Well, I think you have to go all, like, it can't be like a half measure.
Like, sit him for, you'd have, like, to sit him for a game.
You either sit his ass and don't play him at all, or, like,
So what's your answer then? Just, I guess, put up with it?
Well,
there's a third option here that none of us have mentioned yet.
Get rid of him?
That's the real, no, not even that. So I guess this is a fourth option. You just feed him the ball early. You design your entire early game script around, we are going to feature George Pickens.
But
that's the real problem here. They can't get him the ball.
You got his
dad tweeting that Arthur Smith is the problem.
Not good. But this goes back to something Chris said when you temporarily abandoned Broderick Jones. You said to me, so you're going to reward a guy who sucked and start him in the next game. You are now saying this guy who basically went into hibernation mode on the field, the way to fix it is to reward him?
Do they have a first-round pick behind him that they intended on starting?
They have Roman Wilson waiting in the wings who evidently...
Is he a first-round pick?
No, they don't, but I'm just saying, like...
He's not even an outside receiver. He hasn't even played a snap of NFL preseason football.
But you have to understand what you guys are saying. Like, it's Tomlin feeding into one of the biggest criticisms that is levied against him, which is just to acquiesce to the players and basically let them do what they want. You're acting like a... You're acting like an idiot. You're acting like a guy that's dogging it. Well, here's the solution. Let's give you even more. Let's.
What would you do if you were in Tomlin's shoes right now?
I would not bench him. I would not bench him, but I don't think I would give him, like, now this offensive game plan is going to be built around you after the game you just had. I mean, is it unfair to ask someone to be a professional and
no.
just play within the flow of a game?
No, I mean, that I think is a bare minimum expectation. I find some of the fans who continue to defend the player here ad infinitum, it's like you're conveniently ignoring that a Super Bowl champion left tackle who works for the team's radio network called him out more harshly than anybody else. But apparently we're haters in the media if we say George is lolly.
Has he grown in a way that you expected or thought that you would see him grow both as a person and a player since he's been in the building?
He's certainly gotten better, yes.
Mike Tomlin on George Pickens growing up. That's what Max Stark said he needed to do. 412-928-9370. Has this become a big deal, yes or no? You heard Tomlin's answers today on the Fan at Noon. Fan Hotlines presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Promised your calls on it. Let's kick it off with Larry. He's on the Fan. Hello, Larry.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Larry.
I know it's not going to happen, but how can we get rid of Tomlin and Charrington and Shelty? And I love Shelty, but can we change anything around here? You guys got the power. We don't. We're just little fans. That's all I got.
Thanks, Larry. Here is Joe next. Hello, Joe.
You know, my question for Tomlin, though, is if he is like a leader of men, and I'm not saying to coddle George Pickens or reward him for his actions, but why not make a game plan around him and say, here, our run game isn't working. You think you're the best out there. Prove it. I mean, because if he goes out there and plays like Terrell Owens or, you know, Randy Moss, everyone's going to praise him, or he's going to go out there and play like some JV squad team, and then, you know.
What's troubling about all of this to me is they benched him. They didn't say they benched him, but they benched him, Joe. And then there are a couple plays from after the time he was very obviously benched where they were trying to design stuff where he was obviously option one, and he wasn't even running the route at any kind of, like, urgent speed. And that's what gets me. That, like, that's when the game is in the balance and you've got to know that your number is being called number 1A. Like, you're the principal target. If you're going 80% at that point, then I can't really help
you. I mean, Joe, you're basically describing a situation where you got suspended from your job. You come back the day after the suspension and they give you a raise is what you're making it sound like.
I feel like you're playing with fire with it. I mean, in essence, because it's either way, it's a bad look.
Well, we got to treat the guy with such kid gloves that, look, the game plan should have been built around him weeks ago. I don't disagree with that. I just think now this is an odd time to do it. We're rewarding now petulant behavior if we do that.
You might be rewarding petulant behavior, but if the game plan should have been focused around him a while ago anyway, then maybe you're correcting an initial wrong. I mean, that's the other part of this. You have a guy that's very mercurial, that wants the ball, that the most charitable reading of him you'll get is that he's hyper-competitive and that allows his emotions to get the best of him. And yet you are running an offense that does not really, in an advanced way, target him. Like, there aren't these route concepts and combinations that try to free him up for easy stuff. It's almost always high degree of difficulty.
I agree, man, but you are really going to look like a sucker if you try to build the game plan around him and he quits on you a quarter of the way through the game
on
Sunday,
man. Well, if it's about how you look, though, or how you're perceived, why would Mike Tomlin care? He has to be somewhat aware of the outside noise that people have wanted him fired in this town for years.
I'm not talking about with us. I'm talking about with his players.
Don't you think already some of those guys are tired of the way that he covers for Pickens publicly?
Yes. So now you're going to say this game's about George, and then he starts to hot dog it or lollygag it through that game? How's that going to go over?
By the way, if you feel like, and I think we both agree that some of the guys on that team, probably the veterans, are getting tired of this, that is one argument for benching the player. If you think you're going to lose or you're going to alienate in any kind of significant way some of your more important core pieces, then that's a reason
to
punish
the player.
Well, he
tried it. He benched him at the start of the second half.
I mean a full game. Just cut off. You'd say cutting off your nose to spite your face, probably, but if you really think you're losing the Haywards, the Watts of the world, guys like that, because of the way this is unfolding, then you might have to do something drastic.
Anthony in Oakland is next. Hello, Anthony.
Look here, fellas. Tomlin's not going to give the pound of flesh to the media. So
yeah, we just said that.
Stop what?
Yeah, we didn't.
What he did behind closed.
Neither one of us demanded that or said that he needed to do that.
Allow me articulate. What he said behind closed doors should be so. But let's be very clear what the issue is. Last year, after that failure in Indy, they go to Cincinnati, and when they come back to play Cincinnati on that Saturday night game, what was the game plan?
They got it to George on like the first play, and he took it to the house.
Yeah. Yes. So he's looking at, here's what he's seeing. In his mind, I'm Jefferson. I'm Chase. I look at my stats. I see a big fat zero. This is the fifth game in the TD column. Why is that?
Didn't he drop one of the TDs, and then he had a huge game called back?
We could point one out. But why does he have more, and why isn't this offense surrounding him?
Well, I'll throw.
He did get the most targets on the game on Sunday. Anthony.
I'll throw it back on you. I mean, you praised Mike Tomlin up and down when he got his contract extension. Why isn't he getting his best player the ball?
No, I didn't praise him. I said maybe he has shelf life has expired. But since that's not. Here's the culprit. What's wrong with this team? And this is similar to what happened in 2020. You know, we could pick on George, but let's be very clear. The part of the game which Tomlin does oversee, like in 2020, once they lost the pre, there's no pass rush.
Well, hold on a second, though, Anthony. No one's picking on George. He's bringing it on himself. The coach is the guy that benched him, and the video says he's not trying. That's nobody picking on him. That's just pointing out facts. That's not picking on anybody.
Not only do you reprimand you, but you fine him. Because this is the second week in a row we've seen obscene behavior by players. Middle fingers and stuff on your eyelash. Fine them something. But for goodness sake, he wants some scores in that column of zero on TD.
Well, but Chris made a good point then. Catch the ball in the end zone. If you want it, if you're an elite wide receiver, if you're Jamar Chase, catch it.
He's been a victim of some bad luck where huge plays have gotten overturned.
No doubt, but he's not making the most of the opportunities,
right.
Chris.
He has not made the most of the opportunities. He dropped, I'll go again. He picked a bad time for getting sympathy from a guy like me who usually kind of favors the talent and says you've got to cater to it. On 3rd and 4, he might be running 25, 30 yards on a game-changing play, and the ball goes right through his hands like he dipped him in lard before he tried to catch it.
The message on his eye black said open effing always. It was an expletive written across his nose. He also yanked a Cowboys player down by the face mask after the game was over. Are those behaviors that are concerning?
It's certainly things that I'm open to addressing and will do. I just don't detail it in settings like this because it's business between he and I in terms of his growth and development as a player and as a man. I just don't think it aids that growth and the development to address it in open settings such as this. Regarding his behavior, I am aware of that, and obviously that has been and will continue to be addressed. I wasn't aware of the messaging, and so you know, I'm just giving you a knee-jerk response to that.
All right, that's Mike Tomlin. More on George Pickens. This is when we give you our Tomlinism of the week, and Malzi has a submission here.
It's rare that you get one in his opening remarks because he's clearly prepared those. I think sometimes the best ones come as like responses to questions, but he had one chambered and ready to go in his opening statements here.
You also obviously can change the field positioning component of circumstance.
What are we talking about?
Field position component of circumstance.
Field positioning. You can change the field positioning component of circumstance.
Donnie, what do you think that means?
I almost have to think back to what order he put the word.
Field
in.
Positioning.
Positional, I think, maybe. Component of circumstance. If you took out component or circumstance, I think
it just
works.
Just field position.
You could change the field position component. He's talking about big plays.
Can
he
just say field position situation?
Or you could you could change the field position circumstance.
Like he can often do with a lot of the things he says. He can say it in like two words.
But that one, the field position component of circumstance.
Here's another one when he was asked, has his makeshift O-line been a problem?
I'm not displeased with how they're functioning, to be quite honest with you. It may affect us at the beginning of games. I know you guys have asked a lot about the lack of fluidity in some of our starts, and sometimes it's just that. We've had a Rolodex of a lineup.
I don't even think people under the age of 30 even know what a Rolodex is.
That little spinny thing on like a secretary at the principal's office desk? That's where I always thought of them.
Yes. No one has an actual physical Rolodex
anymore. I think when people say Rolodex, like I would say of you, Pony, as a sports host, you've got a great Rolodex of people you can talk to, sources, people you're connected to. Donnie's got a great Rolodex. Malzi doesn't have a Rolodex.
A Rolodex of a lineup. But I think we're going to go with field position.
Is it positional or positioning? Well, play it one more time.
You also obviously can change the field positioning component
positioning.
Of circumstance.
Field positioning
the
component
field
of circumstance.
Field positioning component of circumstance.
What a tongue twister. All right, back to more of your thoughts on George Pickens. Let's hear from Brian in Beachview. Hello, Brian.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, man.
I believe this is a huge problem, man. And part of the problem is, guys, is, you know, I think as teammates, you can deal with the immaturity, throwing your helmet, throwing a Gatorade jug. But when you quit and it's on film and there's guys out there that are playing hurt, there's guys out there giving everything they got, and another guy isn't, that's something, guys, I believe, as teammates, you cannot unsee that with your eyes.
Well, remember last year? Remember last year Jalen Warren said, I would have blocked for him. Remember that?
Right.
He said that, so it affected him.
I believe, at the end of the day, that's why they let Deontay go, because of that play in Cincinnati. He was your number one, quote, number one veteran receiver. He quit on a play, and I believe that's what got him out of town. And as far as what Anthony was saying, calling in, putting George Pickens in the same breath with Jefferson and Chase, he couldn't carry their job.
No, he was saying that's who he – I think he was saying, or whoever brought up Jefferson said that's who Pickens views himself as, not that that person was putting him in the same
category. Well, I think that's part of the problem, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, and Deontay's first couple of years, I don't really remember him being an issue at all. Like, Mike Tomlin clearly was the guy that got tired of Deontay. For the first at least 3 years, the guy caught 20 touchdowns and was productive. Here's the thing about what Brian said that I like, and here's where I think it really goes wrong. You can be that kind of a teammate, but you better make every single play that comes your way. He's fumbled a ball inside the five that probably cost them that game in the end, butterfly effect style.
Mm-hmm.
He has a third and four drop that might have cost them like a chance to go up 17-6, or maybe they put the Cowboys away. If you're the dude not given 100%, and you're also not making every single play that you have a chance to make, the axe going to wear thin with your teammates.
It'll be interesting to see how Pickens and the Steelers respond Sunday in Vegas. This is Donnie's annual road trip with the fellas. They're going out there for this game. I will be there on Thursday with a live broadcast Friday and a huge event scheduled for Friday night at the beautiful Circo Resort and Casino. On the hotline right now, we have the owner of the majestic Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Vegas. The great Craig Stevens is back with us. Craig, Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, and Donnie Football, good to hear you again. I want to thank you for rolling out the red carpet for me last year for the Steelers-Raiders game, including the personal introduction you gave me with Brent Musburger. That was unbelievable, Craig.
Well, first is Derek. You might be thinking of my brother.
Oh, my bad. I'm so sorry. That is an absolute screw-up on my part. Sorry. Sorry, Derek.
He fumbled the ball, Derek. He fumbled the ball.
Derek, that was like the Steelers start against the Cowboys on Sunday. That's on me.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. It's been a heck of a season for the Steelers so far. Sunday was just brutal.
And a heck of a season for your Tigers. I know you're a big Detroit guy. How about that? That's unbelievable what they've done here in the last 2 months.
Yeah, we actually took a crew, flew to Cleveland yesterday, enjoyed that game, too. It was good.
Wow.
Yeah, the Tigers have had a pretty crazy run, so that's been good. And Steelers, you know, really, I mean, until Sunday, I mean, this looked like a pretty special season, and then Sunday was just a tough, tough day. But I think you're coming to a good spot.
Well,
I think everybody wants to come to Vegas right now, particularly with the state of the Raiders.
Yes, well, yeah, that's a good point. We don't have any clue who their quarterback's going to be. Who do you think Davante Adams is going to play for next, Derek?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously he's leaning to the Saints right now. That seems like that's the favorite. Maybe the Jets, but Saints certainly seem to be the favorite.
Derek, we've got a big huddle up event scheduled for Friday night at the Circa, and one of the main attractions, and this is incredible to me, is that you guys have tickets to a couple of our lucky listeners. If they show up there, take in the great Circa, they'll actually get a spot in the stadium for Steelers and Raiders Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, we love doing these huddle-ups. Circa Las Vegas is effectively the home for the road teams that come to Vegas. And obviously everybody loves coming to Vegas to root on their team. You know, that's the one game that I think every football fan has circled. You come to Vegas, I'm going to root on my team. So we've been doing these events on Friday nights called huddle-ups, and we bring in celebrities such as yourself, and we bring in all the road fans, and we throw a big old party to start off the weekend.
Like I think last time I was there, I saw Floyd Mayweather's dad, or was I hallucinating? I think I might have saw Floyd's father there, Derek.
Yeah, probably. He hangs around. Floyd hangs around a lot. He's usually in here a couple times a week, so good chance you'll see him.
For people, Derek, that haven't been to Circa, I mean, can you just explain what they would be seeing out there? I know everything's big and shiny in Vegas, but Circa seems like it's on a different level.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's from the sportsbook perspective, it's the world's largest sportsbook, so you'll see every game that you'd have an interest in, and all the content's very actively managed. So that, again, inside the world's largest sportsbook, and outside, you know, Stadium Swim. That's our outdoor aqua theater, open year round, eight pools, eight bodies of water, 143-foot screen. Great place to watch football. So if you don't have tickets to the game, great place to watch your Steelers.
Derek, I look forward to seeing you on Friday, and if I don't see your brother Craig, say hello to him for me, okay?
Will do. Good to see you. Looking forward to seeing all these Steelers fans coming to Vegas.
All right, thank you, Derek. Appreciate it. Derek Stevens from the Circa.
Does Guinness come in there and measure the old sports book to determine world's
that
largest?
That is a great question.
I was going to ask him, but I know we're pinched for time here. Does Guinness come in there and they're doing, like, they got a big measuring tape? Are they measuring? Is it number of TVs?
They say, congratulations, we just had somebody
footage
at the Westgate, and you're 3 inches bigger. Yep, Donnie liked that one.
Well, Donnie and I think it happens about twice a week. We turn.
Yeah, you guys
look
are thinking about penises right now. I get what you're doing over there. You're not fooling anybody.
Well, what was the guy you played AAU basketball with?
Willie Green.
Ah, yes, Willie Green.